Luke chapter 16 in your Bible. And I do cannot stress enough how much I need the prayers of the saints. Luke chapter number 16, very familiar scripture, verse number 19. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And all the money he had couldn't get him out of where he was going.
Right. You're right.
And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham, you know what's amazing is that if a dead person told some people to repent or they're going to hell, they still wouldn't listen. Do you know that? I mean, if somebody got up out of the graveyard and walked up to them, they still would not turn. I spent this week with a pastor that told me that he had a brother that was unsaved. And he said he was in an accident of sorts and put him in a coma. And they had given him up. He had been that way for 6 months. The doctors had given him up. He was on life support. Miraculously, after prayer from this pastor, praying, God, give my brother one more chance, he actually woke up, went home, had another opportunity, still would not listen, and within months was in eternity. God gave him his chance, and he went right back to doing what he always had been doing. Instead of thinking about the most important thing, which is where his soul is going to spend eternity. I want to preach today about everybody wants to get out of hell. Did you know there's not one soul in hell today that wants to be there? Every one of them wants to get out. This man was a rich man. And you say, why was he there? Well, he was there because he didn't die in faith. He didn't have God in his heart. And you could see it in his life. He had a poor beggar laying at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from his table. This man was rich. He could have fed that man 3 meals a day, 5 meals a day. He could have gave that man a room. Instead, he laid out there while the dogs licked his sores. But when he died, the man who he wouldn't give a thing to, suddenly he needed something from him. Send that man over to me. You see, he was in hell. There is a place called hell. He said, I am tormented in this flame. There are a lot of people today that try to say, hell, that's the grave. You have to be an idiot to believe that. You have to be a fool to believe, listen, that hell is just the graveyard out there. There are many words that the Scripture uses to define this place called hell. There's sometimes the word hell was used for the grave. Sometimes the word grave was used for hell. But there's a very distinct difference in the word that's used for the place that the body goes when it dies, and a whole nother word for the place where the soul and spirit of man goes when it dies. And the soul and spirit is never mentioned going to the grave. And the body has never been mentioned going down to hell. They are two different places. If you read this story used to shake me when I was lost. Every time I heard a preacher say, turn to Luke chapter 16, the Holy Ghost began to deal with my heart. Why? I knew what was in Luke chapter 16. I didn't know much about the Bible, but I knew what was in Luke chapter 16. The Lord wanted me to know what was in Luke chapter 16. I couldn't have quoted John 3:16, but I knew that hell was in Luke 16. And I believed hell was real. Everybody wants to get out of hell. This certain rich man. And you say, well, this is just a parable, preacher. It's just a story. Jesus is telling this story. And Jesus is telling this story of a man that is in the bosom of Abraham. He's in the place of paradise. The place when Jesus died on the cross. He told the thief, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. It was a part of the inner side of earth that was paradise, that those that died in faith went and waited until Christ would come and die for their sin. Those that died without faith, there was a great gulf, and they were on the side of torment, everlasting fire. Are you listening to me? And so that's where they are. And this man, listen, this rich man, he was clothed in purple and fine linen. He had a life. The beggar had a life, not much of one. But again, Jesus used the name of Abraham, a real man. He said, send Lazarus, a real name. To my brother's house, he said, let them hear Moses, a real man, and the prophets, real men. He said, if they won't hear Moses and the prophets, they wouldn't hear though one rose from the dead. This is not just a parable. This is a story of a man's life that the sovereign Savior remembered before he had ever appeared on earth. No doubt in the days when Moses stood and the other prophets stood. Amen? He had the word. He had preachers that he could have heard. You know, the very thing that you need today is exactly what Abraham told this man that he needs. Hear Moses and the prophets. You need to hear God's word. You need to heed the warning of God's word. Everybody wants to get out of hell. There are men in the Old Testament I thought about when I was thinking about this. Men that are in hell just like this rich man. And these are things that lead a lot of people to hell. First, it is just unbelief. That is really what keeps men and women from going to heaven and from being saved. They just have a heart of unbelief. They don't believe they're going to die. They don't believe they need to get that fixed today. They don't believe they need to be saved today. They really are not believing that Christ is the one that can wash their sins away, that He is their only hope. Listen, if you're drowning out in the sea and a man threw you a rope, surely to God you'd grab it if you believed it was your only way out. But people today, they do not believe. They die in a heart of unbelief. They don't repent. They don't turn from sin. They're not converted. Many are dying religious. This man did. He said, Father Abraham. He was religious. He knew about Moses and the prophets. He was religious. But he was not converted. Had he been converted, he would not have had this beggar full of sores laying at his gate begging. That tells me the condition of this man's heart. No love. No love in his heart. But there are those in the Old Testament I thought about. Brother Brandon, the sons of Eli. They're a perfect picture of several sins that many people die of. They died in sins. They were the sons of Eli the priest. They should have been saved if anybody should have been saved. They should have died in faith if anybody did. Their daddy was a priest. But the Bible said they were sons of Belial. You say, what does that mean? They chose to serve the devil in the flesh. That's exactly what that means. Sons of Belial, the Bible said they were. They chose to serve Satan and their self. Amen. And that's what's taking a lot of people to hell today. They choose to serve their self and Satan. You may be here and you say, well, I'm not choosing Satan. Have you chose Christ? If you've not chose Christ, you're against Him. Jesus said, if you're not for me, you're against me. And there's only two to serve. You're either being led by the Lord or you're being led by the devil. You're either a child of light or a child of darkness. A child of Christ or a child of the devil. One of the two. You can't just be on your own. You're not. You think this world that's going so mad for strange flesh right now, kids in school think they're dogs. Boys think they're girls. Girls think they're boys. All of them perverted, that the devil's not involved in that. There's so much possession going on today. It's staggering to my mind. The possession that's going right here in the United States of America. And many of them don't even realize how full of the devil that they really are, full of demonic activity, being led by darkness, led by lust, drawn into sin, drawn deep into all manner of debauchery. Are you listening to me? And so there are people that are not involved in that, but they have an evil heart of unbelief. They refuse to believe that Christ is the Son of God. They refuse to believe that God sent His Son into the world to die for sin, and that He's the only way. An evil heart of unbelief
will take a person to hell as good as any debauchery of sin would lead a man or a woman to hell. Are you listening? They were sons of the devil, chose to serve the devil, sons of Belial. The Bible says they knew not the Lord. They had the sin of refusing to obey. They knew what to do and they refused to obey. Are you listening? They had the word, but they refused to obey. They knew what to do and they refused to obey. That's what's wrong with many today that are sitting on church pews. They have the word, but they refuse to obey. That's a sin that'll take you to hell. Do you know that? Listen, being unsaved, just being unsaved, not putting your faith in Christ, unbelief, that right there is what really takes people to hell. But at the root of it, they don't want to, listen, that's what's at the root of it. That's why they don't obey. They can't obey. They can't walk in the light. They choose not to walk in the light. They are children of disobedience. You say that's pretty harsh. Well, you're either doing it or you're not. And if you're not, you're disobedient. Children of disobedience. Amen? It becomes a root of many sins, most sins. Amen? The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. But this disobedience is a root of many sins. Amen? They refuse to obey the truth and to quit sin. Amen? Even when they were found out, their daddy knew what they were doing and said, "Do not this evil thing." Yet they still did it. Even though they were found out in sin, they refused to quit. Some people sometimes, when their sin is found out, they're ashamed. And so then they may quit. They may actually repent and turn. But a lot of people, they're not ashamed. They're not going to quit. Listen, repentance over shame a lot of times does not last. But godly sorrow worketh repentance that needeth not to be repented of. You get sorry to God for your sin, you'll quit. Not because you is caught, not because you is ashamed, but more of that because you is ashamed of in front of God that you had sinned against God. Amen? That your sins taking you to hell. They committed adultery with women that gathered at the Lord's house. That sin of the flesh, of adultery, of fornication. Listen, people today, they don't think there's anything wrong with that. We've got teenagers doing it. People shacked up. People don't even hardly get married anymore. Are you listening? Those that do get married, it don't last. Amen. They'll marry somebody else. That don't work. They'll marry somebody else. They'd just soon divorce as get married. Adultery, fornication, sins of the flesh. That's what these boys were doing. That's what was holding on to them. That's what caused them to be sons of Belial, disobedient to the truth. They abhorred the offerings of the Lord. The things that God said offer to me, they didn't do that. They actually stole offerings. See, they had meat offerings that would come in there, supposed to come in there for the temple priest and those that worked in the temple, that they didn't have jobs. That was God ordained that the Levites worked in the temple. You know what them boys were doing? They were stealing the meat that was supposed to be given to the work of the temple. They abhorred the offerings of the Lord. Think of all the sins that people are involved today. Are you listening to me? In their lives that's holding them? Jesus said it like this: what would a man give in exchange for his soul? What would a man give? What is it that's holding you back from being saved? What is it that's so desirable? What is it that's so grand that you'd exchange eternity in hell for? That I'm not going to quit. I want to do this. I love doing this. And this is my thing. This is my life. This is the way I live. And this is what I love. You're willing to do that in exchange for eternity in hell? What would a man or a woman give in exchange for their soul? There is, again, the place called the grave. The Bible talks about it. Scripture, the word is Qeber, Q-E-B-E-R. It's translated 6 different ways, and it's always, again, the place where the body goes at death, not the soul. It's translated grave and graves, burial, burying. It's translated sepulcher and sepulchers. Always in a singular or a plural. And always about the place where the body goes. That's grave. That's what the grave is. There are those that say, Jonah, that he made it, you know, I was in the belly of hell, cried I. Those will say that was his grave, was in the belly of that well. When he used the word hell. Listen, he used that word hell as a word grave. But listen, the scripture is very clear that it can be translated at times that way. But the words that I'm going to show you translate not just to the graveyard out here, but a much different place. There's a place called Tartarus. It's a place in 1st and 2nd Peter. It's also found in the book of Jude. It's a prison for fallen angels before the flood, before the days of Noah. There's a place called Sheol. It's interpreted hell 31 times, grave 31 times, pit 3 times. There's a word called Hades. Hell, souls of men die without faith and go to the place called hell. It's a place of torment. There's a place called paradise. Those that die in faith. That's where these two are. The rich man's in hell, and the poor beggar that died, he's in paradise. But Tartarus is a different place. Then there is the abyss, a bottomless pit, it's known as in the New Testament. The Old Testament bids it called Abaddon, which means destruction. The abode of demons and some angelic beings that followed Satan. There is the lake of fire. It is the same as Gehenna in Luke chapter number 12. It is the eternal hell and perdition. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. But now, fallen angels, demons, Satan, wicked men and women, all will spend an eternal duration, a final eternal place to be. Everlasting fire. That's what the Bible calls it. You see, the hell that's beneath our feet, the foundations of the mountains, the Bible says, set on fire of hell. You see these volcanoes spitting out, it's spewing out that living liquid rock fire of hell. Hell from beneath is moved for thee. It's getting bigger to meet thee at thy coming. It's waiting on lost people. It's getting larger and larger and larger. But it's only so big. And when God finally stands lost men and women at the great white throne judgment, he'll deliver up death and hell. That's the grave, their bodies, and their souls out of hell. And he'll be cast into the lake of fire. He said, this is the second death. People want to get out of hell, but there's no getting out of hell. There's no bidding. There are no second chances. That's what this man wanted. Whoa, 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 wait, wait. I'm tormented. Send Lazarus to bring me some relief. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water that he might cool my tongue. That's all he wanted. See that? Can you see it? He wanted Lazarus to so carefully come over with just that. To cool his tongue. He said, I'm tormented in this flame. He said, there's a great gulf. That's what's beneath us. That's what's under here, under the earth. There's that paradise. It's empty now. Christ emptied it 2,000 years ago. Those that died in faith and went to that wonderful place of paradise, when Christ died, he went to paradise and brought them out and took them all to heaven. Now when a person dies, they go straight to heaven. Why? Because Christ paid for our sin and we don't have to wait there anymore. But those that die without faith, are you listening? They still go to hell. And it's enlarging itself. There is no relief. There is no place to go. That burn in hell, they'll get out just long enough to be judged. That'll be worse than hell, Brother David. I believe the great white throne judgment's going to be far worse because they'll have to stand there and look at the God that loved them, the one that offered them the way, that created them, that said, I created you, I loved you. I made you to serve me and you refused. Are you listening? Why do you think you're here on earth? Just by chance? You think some monkey made you and when you die, that's it? My God, it'd take somebody with no brain to believe something like that. Surely under the Lord, anybody with any sense knows man has always looked up. People that die lost all the time in wrecks and accidents and fires. Some of them, their last words are, oh, God. Why? Because there's something in man. God made us in his image. Flesh, spirit, and soul. You and I are a triune being. Like our triune God. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. These three are one. Amen. The one God in heaven that made you and I, made us walk with Adam in the cool of the day. Till the fall of man. Man sinned and fell. And we are fallen creatures. Until Christ redeems us. Till we repent and turn to him. Right now, you're looking at a saved man, and all I'm waiting on is the adoption, to wit, the redemption of my body. Because this body ain't changed yet. It's still getting old, and it's still dying. But what's inside of me, you that's saved, what's inside of you, it's living, it's alive, it's eternal. It'll never perish. Amen. God has given unto us eternal life. And we shall never perish. I'm glad I don't have to go to hell today. There are people wanting out of hell. They're convinced of it. It's real. It's there. You study the Scripture. And I gave you some words this morning. When you know how the Bible explains that place. You cannot deny. Jesus said, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. That's talking about more than just a graveyard out here. Jesus preached more about hell than he did heaven. Warning. He He didn't just preach about it. He died for people to have the way out. That hadn't went. Listen, if you're alive today and you're breathing God's air, you've still got a chance. The door of grace is wide open. And you have a free will. You don't have to choose Christ. You don't have to come to the Lord. You don't have to turn. You don't have to listen to this word. You don't have to listen to a thing I say. You can rebel and sin. You can drink. You can cuss. You can party. You can fornicate. You can do all that you want to do. But know this, the Bible says, you're going to stand before God one day. You're going to. Ask all these people out there, if any of them, you're not going to find nobody that says, I've been here from the beginning. If time goes on, everybody in here is going to be in a graveyard somewhere. If time goes on. Everybody. And the only difference is them that's saved and them that's lost. That's the difference. Souls that are going into hell and souls that are going into heaven. It's the only difference. That's a big difference. I didn't want to go to hell. I realized one day I didn't want to go to hell. Listen, all the parties in the world wasn't fun enough to make me want to go to hell. All the good times with my wild friends wasn't good time enough to make me want to go to hell and spend eternity. I wasn't wanting to chance that. And every time somebody walks away from the Lord, you're taking a chance. I've seen here lately people in Hollywood, the big life, known by everybody, names in lights, worth millions, best clothes, best cars, biggest houses, died at 41, died at 45, died at 21, died at 28. Died at 25. Heart attacks. Heart attacks. Drug overdose. Don't know. Guy in the NFL, 22, 23 years old. Like to win out of here. God spared his life. That could have been it, Brother Danny. He stood up after a tackle. Back he went. That could have been it. Could have been it. People are leaving here every day of all ages. The Bible says you're not promised another day. Not nobody. Me and my wife, my daughter, Ben, you and your wife, none of you, none of you, none of you. We're not promised another day. But we are promised whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God makes a way that when we do leave here, we're in a better place. I want you to stand.